Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision, no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this declare and decree at the end of today's meeting. As saints, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Go all the way to 1 Timothy 3. Let's start somewhere today. What are we teaching?
Praise and worship.
The doctrine of what?
Praise and worship.
Praise and worship. So we're trying to understand, why do we act the way we do when we come to church? Look at 1 Timothy 3. Verse 14. Are you there?
Yeah.
So Paul will say, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is Paul saying to Timothy? Paul is clearly saying that there is a way we behave ourselves when we come together. Are we here?
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, in our world, we think when we come together, it's an opportunity to express anything anyhow. Are we here?
Mm-hmm.
So we see a lot of people under unnecessary pressure. And especially for the music ministers, because the music ministers would always want to communicate to our fleshly desires. So what do they do? They go into the world, pick templates from the world, bring them into the church, and try to twist it. Are we together? You know that? How many of you watched Spider-Man when you were growing up? I never did. You say, see, it's part of getting saved. I never watched Spider-Man, really. So there's a popular trend of how people switch the intro song. Do you know that trend? It's done like, dun da da dun da da. You know, yeah, we're out in the world, yeah? So. And I saw a church use that for praise and worship. I said it to you, right?
Yeah.
Use it for praise and worship. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? So, what do we see ourselves do? A lot of times, we go into the world, we pick templates, bring it to the church, because we think the church is an entertainment center. Now, what did Paul say? But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Go all the way to Acts chapter 1 with me. Let me show you. Acts 1. So, look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. Now, who is writing the book of Acts? Luke, right? So, Luke is writing the book of Acts, and Luke had written the book of Luke. Are we together? So, Luke that wrote to Theophilus is the same Luke writing to Theophilus in Acts. You see that? That's why it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. The former treatise will be the former letter, which will be what you call the book of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Altogether, it says, of all that Jesus began both to do and to what?
Teach.
And to teach. Now look at verse 2. Until the day in which he was what? Taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given what? Commandment unto the apostles whom he had what? Chosen. Let's read verse 3 together, all of us together. 1, 2, 3, go. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the what? So what was Jesus doing for 40 days?
Teaching.
Teaching about what? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For how many days?
40 days.
So if you hold a Bible seminar in church and we call it 40-day seminar, we are teaching. Are we doing what Jesus did?
Yes.
All right. If you hold a 40 days Bible seminar, and majority of what we are doing are activities, are we doing what Jesus did?
No.
All right. So it means that you can gather together and teach people back to back for 40 days. You know, I've told you before, history shows that majority of Jesus' disciples were teenagers. You see, the people you are calling apostle this, apostle that, apostle this. In fact, history shows that barely, maybe only Peter, and because he was married at the time, was the one that was not, was the only one that was not a teenager. Out of 12. So it means the people that Jesus used to turn the world around were teenagers. Why do you think they would turn the world around? Because there was a Jesus who took them for 40 days and would have been teaching them back to back for years. Let me tell you something, they say, you cannot give what you don't have. Are we together?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. See, you really cannot put a saint who listens to the kind of teaching we give here, right? When we teach 1 hour, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 30 minutes, at least a minimum twice a week. And then we have our 5, 6, 7 hour stretch meetings once in a while, then vigils. You cannot compare that believer to somebody who hears the word 15 minutes or 20 minutes a week. When you were in school, how did the best people used to pass? They are the ones you call the Liberians. Right? How many of you are Liberians? Okay. Right? So, those of you that the lecturer, what the lecturer even said, it hasn't left the atmosphere, you have gone to library. Eh? You've gone to look for his textbook, you are reading till night. But I think I noticed that when it's exam time, we that don't read, we gather around them that read. Why? Because when you read and give yourself to anything, I always tell you, whatever you give yourself to in this world, you will be better at it over time, including stealing. You get better at anything you give your attention to. So when you see a lot of us as Christians, we have short attention span. And that you call short is what finishes suits from season 1 to 9. Thank you very much. Right? And in the real sense, when it's time for the word, what happened? Pastor just say something, then just brush it together, meet it together, and let's just drink and God sees our heart. You know you cannot grow that way. So Jesus will take disciples and teach them for 40 days back to back. They didn't have talking nights. They didn't have table tennis evening. Bless your heart. Thank you. They didn't have table tennis evening. Are we together? Are you following me? So it means that we need to check what rigorous attention they gave to God's word that made them grow that way to turn the world around like we see. Amen, amen?
Amen.
So when you're in a local church, where God's word is given attention to, in our world, now we see people who run away from where the truth of God's word is taught because they want to go to where they will be what? Doing ringa-ringa. What's the real thing? They say it's not ringa ringa rosy.
Rosy.
Eh? Ring? Ring of roses. Pocket full of.
Roses.
A tissue. A tissue. We are. And what did they say now?
Tissue.
A tissue.
Tissue.
Eh?
Tissue.
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 Like tissue. Don't forget tissue paper. Anyways, you get the point. You know people use that for praise and worship. You've not seen it. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. People do the most ridiculous things for what? To make people attentive. You see, Jesus did not have to do that. That is why they were able to turn the world around the way they did. So, what you should always ask yourself is, how close is your Christian devotion to their devotion? And how far is your devotion to their devotion? So, you wake up everyone, Lord, use me! I give myself away without him nothing. But once it's 20 minutes, you tune up. You have withheld your attention span. You know that you can be deliberate in being attentive. Do you know that? You know that when you sleep in church, They are running after you. You know, if we sat here and we're feeling sleepy and we heard pra-pra outside, you know your eyes will not close till you see police say they have gone. Right? Even if it's 5 hours, your eyes will be open. You'll be opening the window. So you'll be at alert. If you step out of this door, maybe we're feeling sleepy. I know somebody was running towards the direction. What will you do? You run. When you get to the end, you ask, why were you running? Right? But you know, when you were leaving this door, you could have said, I was tired. So it means that when you put your mind to, so because you don't want to die, right? When you put your mind to things, you can actually stay long there. So Jesus will teach for 40 days, back to back. And Bible says he was teaching concerning the things about his kingdom. So it means that Jesus taught them the practice of the assembling together of saints. He taught them, so Jesus gave them a template as to how to teach. Mind you, Jesus never said open your Bible to the book of Ephesians. Jesus never said open your Bible to Galatians. He never said turn your Bible to Revelation. Why? Because Matthew to Revelation, they were not written even up until his death, his burial, and resurrection. Are we here? Yeah. So Jesus did not quote Ephesians. So it means that everything Jesus taught about his resurrection, they were from what? Genesis to what? Malachi. Wait, did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Everything Jesus taught as doctrine, they were from where? Genesis to Malachi. So it means in the writing of Genesis to Malachi is all a saint needs for spiritual growth. Do you think they grew spiritually? What did they use to grow? Genesis to Malachi. So it means there's a way to read Genesis to Malachi and you will grow spiritually. What do we do in our world today? Genesis to Malachi is what? Old Testament. Leave it. We're under the law. We're under grace. We're under grace. Grace. There's our sins are forgiven. Past, present, future, 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 future. Past. Right? Under law. The Bible says you should not do this. Where did he write it? Deuteronomy. Forget it. Bible says for by his grace, by his mercy. And everything you call by his grace, by his mercy in Ephesians, they were all written with the foundation of Genesis to Malachi. So Paul could not teach his audience without Genesis to Malachi. Did you get that? So the book of Ephesians could not have been written without Genesis to Malachi. So Jesus taught them for 40 days. That means there's a lot to learn in Genesis to Malachi. It's not just that the old. Let me show you something. Go to Psalm 16. Before I go to Psalm 16, go to Psalm 118. Are you here? Have you gone?
Here.
Please, I want to say something very important now. So follow me. Okay? Look at Psalm 118, verse 22. And the way you start reading, some of you start smiling because you've used it for your family before. Have you seen it? Go there. Are we there? Psalm 118, verse 22. Are you there? What does it say? The stone which the builders rejected is become the what? Head cornerstone. So what do we use for that? You know, when your family dejects you. Oh, I will make it. And you go to town. Abi, you go to town and learn trading. Then come by our bicycles. See, I was the stone that they rejected. I'm now the chief what? Corner. Look at the next verse now. This is the what? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Doesn't that make sense? You, nothing good can come out from you. Nothing. See, you just long like long. You are just short like short. Nothing. You cannot even talk well. Then you two, that will now push you to go and learn something strong. You see, and that is what puts people under pressure eventually, and they go to where they did not know they were going. Are we together? Then they come back and say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous. Just listen. In our eyes. Right? In case you are not satisfied, look at the next verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. Ooh. Wait, is that not your Bible? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All together. So the day you go back to your hometown or your village or whatever you call it, this is the day the Lord has made. Well, the enemy meant for evil. There are people who have gone that way and never returned alive. And there are those that went that way and came back to see them. The question becomes, when the Bible says this is the Lord's doing, what exactly is the Lord's doing that is marvelous in our eyes? It can't be your car. Do you understand? Imagine I buy a car of 1962. I'm the first in my limit to drive a car. Every other person before me is tricycle. Before them, bicycle. Before them, they're just cycling. Just leg. Are we together? And now I now have four cars. Say, this is the Lord's doing. He's marvelous in our eyes. Do you understand? Somebody who doesn't believe in that your Lord will tell you, ah, this car. You know, do you think I can buy the company and give you five of the 2023 editions for free? Now, what do people ask for? Don't forget, you're going to Psalm what? 16. Yeah? Look at Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. Are you there? Now, look at verse 10. Be it known unto you. Now, who is talking here? Who is talking here? Who is talking here? Trace it down. Who is talking?
Peter.
From where do you see Peter? Okay, so then Peter, so I ask you to read verse 9. So if you just go to the verse before, then Peter, filled with the what? The Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye what? Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Let me ask you a question. Who crucified Jesus?
Men
crucified Jesus. God did not kill Jesus. Amen? God did not kill Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh, submitting himself to man for man to kill him, so that he will resurrect for man to come alive. Are we together? You know, I've taught you before, God did not need the blood of Jesus. Is that true? Yeah? The blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus was not to God. Right? If God needed the blood of Jesus, it would mean that God is not different from your traditional ruler who wants to see blood to appease God. Are we together? So God is the one that rather than ask you to bring blood, he will give his blood for your sake. And his blood will be his what? His life. Are we together? So what is the blood of Jesus? The life of Jesus. Right? So for some of you who grew up pouring the blood of Jesus on the road. Right? I cover this airplane in the blood of Jesus. I cover this sheep in the blood of Jesus. Right? And you think it's liquid that is just enveloping everything. Well, that's not the purpose of the blood. The blood of Jesus is the life that God has given to make man come alive from the grave of the dead. So every man who has believed in the message of the gospel has drank the blood of Jesus. You know that song?
We plead.
Is it bleed?
We plead the blood of Jesus.
We plead.
The Lord.
Okay. No, there's one that you say I drink.
I drink the blood.
I know.
It's the same song, but we don't change it to drink.
Oh. There's another one, drink. Okay, I drink the blood of Jesus. I drink, no, it's pain. Anyways, you get the point. So, we used to grow up, you know, I drink the blood of Jesus. I smell the fire of the Holy Ghost. Yes, because, you know, if you swallow the fire wrong, it will burn inside. It has to be liquid. So, I swallow the liquid fire of the Holy Ghost. I drink the blood of Jesus. I swallow the liquid fire of the Holy Ghost. Yes! I drink the blood of Jesus. Yes! When the people start running. Why would you run? Where fire is your stomach? Have you put hot rice in your stomach before? You know how your head will be. Are we together? So we think that the blood is the liquid that came out from the body of Jesus. No, the blood that God you see is the life he gives upon the resurrection. So a man who is born again has drank the blood. So we are vampires. Hallelujah. We are vampires and in, please hear what I'm saying. In being vampires, we didn't touch blood. Hallelujah. We receive his life. Praise God. Right? So who crucified Jesus?
Man.
Who rose Jesus from the dead?
God.
So why you say, where is God's mighty power in the crucifixion of Jesus when he rose Jesus from the dead? So God did not pour the whole, God did not say, oh, the whole sin of everybody pour on Jesus and now smote. No. Jesus is God made flesh to deliver mankind from the bondage of sin and death. Hallelujah. Say, I'm born again.
I'm born again. Yeah,
so look at what happened. That says, you crucified him, God raised from the dead. Now, look at verse 11. This is the
stone.
Please, have you been following me?
Yes.
Look at verse 11. This is the stone. Is that the stone the builder rejected?
Yes.
Which has become the what?
The stone.
So who is the stone the builder rejected?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ was rejected by men. And in the rejection was God's plan to make him the chief corner of the body of Christ. So you are not the stone that your village people rejected. You are not the stone that your family rejected. Jesus is the stone that man was fulfilling the will of the Father to bring many men, many sons into what? Glory. Are you here?
Yes.
So where is Peter teaching from?
Psalm 118.
Where is Peter teaching from now?
Psalm
118. Verse what? 21. So will Peter quote everything in Psalm 118? No, now. But when you see Peter talking from Psalm 118, what do? Because his Bible was never the book of Acts. Remember, his Bible was not the book of Ephesians. He could only quote from Psalms, from Genesis, from Malachi, and the books in between. So you are safe to say that Jesus is Peter in Acts 4 is teaching strictly from where? Psalms 118. How did Peter know to teach from Psalm 118? Peter attended 40-day seminar with Jesus, where Jesus would have taught from Genesis to Malachi only. So in Jesus teaching from Genesis to Malachi, what has Jesus done? He has shown an example of how the Bible students should approach the word. So what did Peter say? This is the stone which Peter rejected. It has become the what? The head of the stone. Now look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. So it means that the narrative of the stone that was rejected is a narrative of what?
Salvation.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
The narrative of the stone that was rejected is a narrative of what? Salvation. So if you are not the one that brings salvation to mankind, the stone which Peter rejected is not a story about you.
Yeah.
Are you following me? Right? So neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under the heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter. So where was Peter boldly teaching from?
Scriptures.
Genesis to what? Malachi. So go back to Psalm 118. So Peter opened his Bible. And when he opened his Bible, he saw the stone which the builder rejected. And he said, this stone the builder rejected is about Jesus, through whom salvation will come. So the question now becomes, look at the next thing. This is the Lord's doing. Amen?
Amen.
So what's the Lord's doing? Salvation plan. It is what? Marvelous in our sight. So men rejected Jesus, right? And Jesus rose from the dead. And in rising from the dead, becomes the chief cornerstone, the foundation upon which we are laid. What did the psalmist say? He says, that is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous for us to see. What did he say again? He says, this is the day. So what day would the psalmist be talking about? The day in which the stone that was rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Is that the day of the resurrection?
Yes.
You get that? So the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. So you see why we're rejoicing? Hallelujah. We are in the day. Now, when the Bible uses the word day, it's not every time the word day is used. It means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They are. Are not always 1 hour, 2 hours. Right? You know, Jesus will say in John 4:21, he will say, for the hour cometh when men will worship in spirit and in truth. We are in that hour. Hallelujah. For hour and day will sometimes be looked at as a dispensation. So it will be a series of period. So he says, this is the day the Lord has made. We're in that day. Hallelujah. We're in that day. We're in that day. Where salvation has made available to mankind. So Psalm we talk about it as a prophecy. When we see the manifestation, what do we say? That is the Lord's doing. So the day we are in started when?
Resurrection.
The resurrection. So it means from the resurrection to today, we are still in day one.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
We are still in the day one. And I can tell you for free, add 5 more thousand years to today, we are still in day one. Guess what? Let me even make it easier for you. That day is the same hour. We've not left the hour. We are still in the hour. Did you get that? So when he says, the stone which the builder refuses become the what? The chief cornerstone. So it means when you see that work being done, man rejected Jesus. And Jesus actually was dying to save the sins of man. You know, every man that flogged Jesus, if they believe the resurrection of Jesus, they're your brothers and sisters. Do you know that?
Yeah.
So that is why when you relegate people, it's to your detriment. A man that is doing being terrible to other men, what does God want from that man? For that man? Salvation. No. That's why God will never answer a prayer of, oh Lord, destroy all the people that are destroying my family. God's will for you. See, if God answered the prayer before you got saved, you will not be here today. You know, some of us were not as terrible as some other people. Right? But some of us, if you see the kind of terrible things we did to other people, if those people are taking you up in the place of prayer and God answered that prayer, you will not be here today. You know yourselves now. So if God is answering that prayer in a cycle, what happens? Eventually, God did not say not to save anybody. So he said, every man destroying the fatherland. So look at it. It is a very tricky conversation. That is why when it comes to judgment of God and man, there are some times when you want judgment, better stay with man. Because if you take that judgment to God, you won't find it the way you are looking for it. Are we together?
Yeah.
Somebody does something evil to you. Say, no, I'll pick you up. I'll take you to God in prayer. Ha. If you really want something to happen to the person, which you shouldn't really, you better take him to the police court. Because how does God actually deal with his enemies? The Bible says he gives them food to eat. He allows the sun to fall on both the just and the unjust. He allows his rain on the evil and the good. You don't get the rain of God because you are good. You get the rain of God because he is good. So people who are not as good as you will still get the rain of God because he is good. So the faithfulness of God to mankind is irrespective of your unfaithfulness. That's the stone which the builders rejected. You see, the last person who nailed his hands on the cross, when Jesus resurrected on the third day, right, and the message was preached to that man, even if the man still had the hammer in his hand and he believed, he's your brother. He's just a brother with hammer. So what do? We give the attention of that brother to God's word so that he can let go of the hammer. But even though he still knows the hammer, he's your brother. Right? So that says, this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. So we say, glory! So it means at every point T or time T in your life, you can rejoice because you are in that day. So you can wake up and rejoice. And before you sleep, you rejoice again and sleep. Then wake up and rejoice. Why? Because you are in the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Because that is the Lord's doing. And it's what? So what is the Lord doing? That when men, what the enemy meant for evil. Hallelujah. What the enemy meant for evil. You see, you were once an Israelite in the hand of Pharaoh. And what did God do? He went straight into the middle of Pharaoh's camp. Picked you from there. Picked you through the Red Sea. And brought you to the land of Canaan. And he said that land is flowing with what? Milk and honey. So God brings you to his kingdom and he doesn't leave you hungry. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave you thirsty. John 7. If anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he said, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. Whose belly? The belly of the one who brings salvation. Verse 39 tells you, but he spake ye of the Spirit, which was not yet given because it was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. So, you see some people, what do? I was the stone that was rejected. It's for my belly. You will fit for my belly. Yeah? Out of my belly. And you know there's a popular song, out of your belly. Shall flow rivers of water. You know that song? Yeah? You see, your belly cannot give the rivers of living water. The belly of the resurrection. You can only point people to the belly who supplies the river. Hallelujah. You said you tasted of the river. Hallelujah. Yeah? So whatever river is in you is on account of the river that is in Christ Jesus. So what do? You point man to the river that supplies the living water. Why are you really going to Psalm what? 16. Go all the way to 16. Hey. Right? So what are we examining? The doctrine of praise. So you see, so it means that today, can we sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made"?
Yes.
So you know we can sing it as a church now, because we know what it means. Right? You know that ideally, an average person doesn't know what it means. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
Are we together? You see, if you don't teach the word of God very well, that's why you have so many rivalry among saints. Are we together? Right? You know the enemies that other people are praying for to die, they are members of the same local church. Let's assume they are not in the same local church. They are members of the same body of Christ. Are we together? So, you ought to give your attention to right doctrine, else you will not have the right praises. So, it means that there are lots of songs we used to sing when we were growing up, that even though we have better knowledge now, we will only sing them with better knowledge, not necessarily relegate them. Let me show you a great example. Look at Psalm, what are you?
16.
Psalm 16. Okay, in the book of Psalm 16, would that be part of what Jesus would have read? Yeah? Would that be part of what Peter would have read? Alright? So look at it again. I have said the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is what? Glad. And my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall what? Rest in hope. Now, who is writing here? Who's writing in Psalm 16?
David,
right? You know, I told you, it's not everything in Psalms that is David.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is what?
David.
Okay. Now, you see why it's David, right? So he says, therefore my heart is glad. Do you know that when you read the scripture, you can think that in the real sense, that's a narrative of David talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore my heart is glad. My glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou will not leave my soul. Are you there?
Yeah.
In hell. Are you there? Neither will thou suffer the Holy One. You think the Holy One there is who? David. Yeah, look at the next verse. For thou will not, thou will show me the path of what? Life. In thy presence there is what? And at the right hand there are what? Pleasures forevermore. Hold on. Yeah, you used to start Sunday service. Oh, lift up your hands. If I was in the presence of the Lord, there is what? Fullness of joy. You see, no matter how emoji-ish your voice is, if what you are saying is not what you should be. It is not what you should say.
Let me not say what I wanted to say.
You know that you can use voices to take people away. Let me always tell you, when you see somebody crying, when you see somebody crying to a song in another dialect that they don't understand, they're struggling. Do you understand? I remember a lady was singing. Skip, Josh. Yeah? I have to skip that one because you will not be happy. See, so a lot of times, somebody asked me a question. Some pastors asked me a question a few months ago, a year ago. They said, why is it that we have lots of ladies in churches more often than not? You don't want to know my answer. But it's not far-fetched. All together. A lot of times, a lot of ladies are looking for an emotional balance in their lives that is missing. And the best place they try to find it is with God. So you start seeing some ladies say, God is my boyfriend. You've not seen people like that? You've not seen people who say, the Holy Spirit calls me darling. The Holy Spirit calls me boo. That's a product of not being taught well. You see, the Holy Spirit say, baby, do you want to go out today? But ideally, who should be saying that to you? Your boy, your man, your horse. Do you understand? The to wear pink today. He said pink is the color of the Lord today. pink is the color of the Lord. You know, I stepped out of the direction and said, go back in, baby girl. You see, who are kind of people that cannot listen to God's word for what it is? You know why? Because they will think every time God speaks, it has to be. How are you? You know, someone heard me teach. You know, I've calmed down. Someone heard me teach a few years ago. They say, I cannot listen to my message. And my voice is too harsh. Are we together? Right? But when I go to people and say,
Say, Jesus. Jesus.
See, I felt the presence of the Lord. He fell on me mightily. See, and that's why a lot of times, you see, let me not digress because we'll get naughty this morning. Yeah? But in the real sense, it's easy to pick some prophecies that are not for you and make them your own. And that's why if you don't get yourself in the right place, you will get yourself in places where words will be spoken and you will link every word to yourself. Pastor is essentially saying, I see restoration. You are thinking of your broken heart. You are thinking, somebody broke your heart. I received my word. And why we not carry small money in your hand? You can't touch the altar. I tap. How many of you have tapped before? I have tapped. My well. Flow. I have that. Somebody was, you know, a lot of times when I think back of myself some 10 years ago and things I shouted about, I'm like, was I not thinking? Just that, I'm connecting. Tap your seat. Hallelujah. Well, so as saints, you need to learn God's word for what it is. Right? Else you allow your emotions always lead you. Are we together? That's why you see believers, they know God's leading for them when they tell God what they want to see. You see, God, if I go out today, the first brother that wears blue and smiles at me is my husband.
Yeah.
And you go out, the first brother you saw, he wore blue. You say, God, it's light blue. It's light blue. And he smiled at you. You say, it's light blue. That's why you keep looking for blue, daddy. Because so I see how a lot of times, so a lot of us are looking for the spectacular and missing God on the what? Supernatural. Because supernatural of God will not always be spectacular. Are we here? Right? In my life, I've never in my life heard God say to me, my son, say this to that person. Never. But that still quiet voice in my heart, I trust it. Why do I trust it? I've over the years learned how to fine-tune God's word in my heart in the middle of the chaos that is found in this world. So what do you say about the leading of God? I'm not talking about leading of God today, but a lot of times you are asking God to increase the volume of his voice, but really you should reduce the volume of the voices around you. That's why you can't hear everybody. Let me tell you something. You know me, you've followed me for years. You know, I don't know how to say, listen to Olemi. I've never said it, I will never say it. By the grace of God. I don't have to say, listen to Olim. Olim, my message. No, I don't believe I'm the only person that is right. No, I do my little. I show you what's in the world. If tomorrow I get a better knowledge, I'll come back and correct you. You know why it's easier for me? Because I never told you that is what the Lord said to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah? When you start hearing people say, the Lord woke me up by 3 a.m. and said, my son, I want to show you something Paul did not even know. Sit down. Open your Bible. Flip. So people start hearing that and we say, there's a dimension. You know, this man operate from the seventh heaven. As I see people are led every day by this. Lord, as I open my Bible today, anywhere I read, minister to me through your word. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. You say, you close again. You draw this one again. That is the life of a lot of Christians on a day-to-day basis. Why? Because they're not well taught. Are we together? So, what God showed me this last night, and even Paul did not know, listen attentively. You see, when the Bible says, run from the flee, from the appearance. That is it. Want to teach us what Paul did not teach. Want to teach us what Jesus did not teach. See, even Jesus did not know when he was alive. So, we have a lot of unendingly ridiculous things. Right? However, you know that not every pastor says the same thing. I hope you know. You know it's easy to merge two different pastors saying two opposite things and make it make your rhema. I've been there before. It doesn't end well. I remember when I started listening to sound doctrine. I said, let me see this one for sound doctrine. This one for eloquence. And you know, when you're listening to someone for eloquence, in the real sense, when you start teaching, you want to see the words the person used. So you sound like the person, so you know you are growing. That's why I say nonsense. I remember one ridiculous example I used to give. Please don't look for my messages from over 10 years ago. Eh? You see, the image of the slippers. Slippers is the image. Mm. Just leave it there. Please go back to 016. But let me tell you something, I've said nonsense. I've said nothing in my life. So when you see me very emphatic about God's word, I don't want you to go as far as I went. Because not so many people go as far as I went, come back. Mm-hmm. Me, portals, dimension, realms, the realms of glory. The first heaven was okay for me. I was approaching the ninth. I was getting the ninth heaven where God sits and dwells with his angels. And I say, holy, holy. A pastor came to our school one day when I was in university that day. And I've told you this story several times. I'll say it again. He came to the school and he told all the people that recognized him. I don't know if you know. He came to the senior people and said, I want a spirit-filled pianist. That's how all of them say, that's the YBJO. They put me inside trouble. Spirit-filled. I went to my spirit-filledness. I went to go and I followed the keyboard. God help me. See, when the pastor said, you're looking for spirit-filled anything that you do, run. Just run. So I sat on the keyboard. I know, imagine the whole school is telling you I spirit field. Into you walk on the piano like I spirit field. You know, I went and I sat down and I set my settings. I did everything. I put my first chord. I did. And the pastor, I was sitting behind him. So the pastor was just talking. And I did. He did like this first. And he continued talking. I did another. He did like this. I said, when he looked at me, I looked back. I thought somebody was there. And before I knew it, Oga told me to message him. He said, you know, there's a level you will get to that the sound from the court of heaven, you will hear it and play it. That's what I know. My own was finished. Now that I know my own has caught up with me. I started reducing my volume. Let's know who is leading us. He said, can I get another pianist? In front of your school, spirit led. So the brother that did not go, I know the first thing they will think maybe you are fornicating or maybe your life is just the brother that people did not think is the spirit led, he now came. That's why they came for 3 days seminar, day two. He sent for me, spirit brought down. I went to his hotel room. He started doing some incantation. He said his prayer. This is connect to the air. I know what I will play. What I will play when I go for day two, what I play day one. What is your prayer? Nothing will change. That's how what I now did. I now asked the other brother that played the other day to sit beside me on a different keyboard. So he did not. I went to the master volume, I increased his own volume. And I reduced my own. And I'm staying at the background. So that when he looks back, he doesn't know who is confusing. I left that meeting seeking for something I will never find. Because who told you there's an instrument in the room? Not just there's an instrument in the room. There's an instrument in the room. And that's why a lot of us believe there's a trumpet that will be blown. Have you? Some of us still believe it. Don't look at that. Look at me. Some of us still believe it. Now the last day in Jamaica, I'll carry trumpet. I'll be like, where was trumpet made? Trumpet would have been man-made on the air. So you see, after man made the first trumpet, angel came around and picked the first one and went up. And started coming for different batches until they have orchestra. Do you understand? Sometimes you will just think, you'll be like, how do I make no reason? On the last day, a little believer shall be raptured. I'm waiting for a trumpet. So some of us are waiting. Pororo, pororo. Some of us even know the tune. Pororo, pororo. Ignorance is a stupid thing, you know. Ignorance. When you now blow it, all of you now. Some of us actually believe that one angel is about to blow it, but Jesus is begging God. Have you not heard that talking like that? I heard a woman saying that she went to heaven, that the angel is about to blow it, but Jesus knelt down and saying, God, don't forget my blood. Don't forget my blood now. The girl will now look at you and say, those people, because of you. Remove your mouth, my hand from the trumpet. Then Rasak, we're now building it up. I'm waiting for it. Then God will just say, blow! Then one day to catch up with us. Maybe angel will blow quickly before Jesus beg. Everybody's life has ended. So what's the next thing? Book of what?
Life.
Book of life. So you think there's a book. Book is made on the earth from what? Paper, then tree. Eh? So somebody will now create book, then they now frame it. How big will the book be? How would they write your name? You know it's not only that it's Joshua Yusuf in this world. Go and check Facebook. Eh? And interestingly, I'm not with the only Joshua Yusuf with my middle name. So when I get saved, is there everybody that Joshua Yusuf down? They will now enter into the book. Okay, Joshua Yusuf, they'll put brackets with the S. Or Joshua Yusuf of God's palace. Mm. Eh? Then when you now say, what happened? God will now TPEX. So some of us believe God has biro, God has pencil, God has TPEX. When you get saved, you write it in pencil. What your salvation is, when you do water baptism, you change it to biro. Right? If before you do water baptism, you sin, you use eraser. But when they use biro, you cannot use eraser. It has to be what? TPEX. So you use TPEX and remove your name. So all those things are things that are born out of what? Ignorance. Hallelujah. Anyways, I said all of that to say this, right? Thou will show the path of life in the presence of God, the fullness of joy, and the right hand of pleasures forevermore. Now, some of us think that scripture is talking about when we come on a Sunday morning. I think what took me through all that narrative was how people can use words to take you off what should be the truth. Have you seen people who steal money from people? I call it steal. They call it seed sowing. Have you seen people who steal money from people? Have you not found out how they usually start? You know I can steal money from you. I always tell you. My sister, you know I could have stolen money from me this morning. Because when she came into church, she didn't see anything coming towards her direction. And I came towards her direction, and she was already perplexed. You know, if I said, tomorrow there's a blessing, a multi-million dollar project that's coming your way. But you have to... So we walk it back. I see the number, 20000. You say 20,000. Eh? I see the currency, pounds. Pounds. That's why I don't have 20,000 pounds. But I see 2000 minus 10. That's 2,000. Do you have it? That's what I have it, bro. It has used. Yeah, what that would be at 200, bring 200, bring 200. I just say, that 200 you bring, it will not give you the multi-million. No? It will not be million. That's how people steal. So you have people say, stories. You have to first say stories, soothing words. I saw a video of a woman saying, my ticket for a year alone is this and this. Have you seen that video? Okay, my ticket for a year is this and this. I also just trying to say a man met me. And as he met me, he said this was what his stagnation was in his life. And he said, he sold this seat. And as he sold it, things turned around. You that are looking for turnaround, if he tells you, drop this, what will you do?
Drop it now.
And what happens at the end of the day, there has to be keyboard at the background. They have to set the atmosphere. All together. So that's why a lot of us think that a spiritual atmosphere is based on what the pianist plays. You know, we made this atmosphere spiritual this morning without the instrument. Yeah? Without the instrument. Yeah, because when God was planning the work and the things of the Spirit, he didn't have instruments in mind to support or to back up. No, it was you as a house, the temple of God, and give expression to rejoicing. Let me show you how Peter explained. Go back to Acts 2 again. Acts chapter 2. Are you there? Let me go all the way to verse 22. So I'm going to have a quick read, okay? 22, look at it quickly. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel of, and who? And foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have what? Crucified as so, who crucified and slain Jesus?
Man,
please follow what I'm about to show you. Whom God had what?
Raised.
raised up, having lost the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of what? Of it. Now look at verse 25. Are you in your Bibles?
Yes.
Verse 25, 1, 2, 3, go, let's read together. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Did you read that today? In where? Psalm 16. So what did Peter say? David speaking. So who wrote that in Psalm 16? David. Yeah. So look at it again. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my what?
Right
hand, I shall not be. Is that Psalm 16 verse 8?
Yes.
Yet look at verse 26. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Moreover also my flesh shall what?
Rest
in hope. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Because thou will not leave my soul in what?
Yeah.
Hell, Hades. Neither will thou suffer thy holy one to what?
See
corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of what?
Life.
Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy what?
Countenance.
Now look how Peter says in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the what? Patriarch David. That he is both what? Dead and buried. So it means that if David was saying about himself that God will not allow his only one suffer corruption, it means that that prophecy or that scripture has failed. Because David is dead and buried. So what did Peter say? Peter will say that David speaking, he will say, I foresaw. So when David said, thou will not leave thy holy one to suffer corruption, was David speaking about himself, David?
No,
David was foreseen. Yeah? So Peter is explaining Psalm 16 to you. He says, men and brethren, let me speak freely about David. He is dead and buried. In case you are not sure he's dead and buried, he said, his sepulchre is with us until what?
This day.
Now let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, being a prophet. Hold on, who is the prophet?
David.
David, a prophet. So who is the prophet fundamentally? One who will see ahead and speak God's counsel. Who's a spokesperson? Prophet is not, see, you know, in our world, we know prophets by people who see phone number. Yeah? We know prophet by people who see, we know prophet by people who see account balance. Are we together? Right? A divine prophet of scriptures fundamentally is one who will speak God's counsel. In the real sense, to a large extent, a prophet in our world today will be one who will re-echo God's counsel. Are we together? Not the one who will pick the scripture and try to fine-tune it. You know, a lot of us now, prophet, what we see now is the end times. End time, you know, end time prophets. Anyway, that's their name. End time prophet. All those ones are always seeing destruction, and destruction is leading to the mark of the beast. Therefore, mark of the beast is going to lead to vaccine. Are we? Then from vaccine, it leads to what? 5G. So that's why a lot of us actually know prophet. Oh, I see. I believe the prophet of the Lord here surely will be. We are now the ones using the 5G today. How many of you don't have 5G on your phone? You don't have. Because 5G is the mark of the what? Are we together? Right? How can somebody say? You see, let me tell you something today. If the government of any country, let's say in the UK, because that's where I am, come out and says, I will not have access to money without putting a chip in my body, sum up the lie, I will collect it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
About Jesus? If for any reason I don't collect it, it is because I don't want anybody to tear my skin. Not because I think it's the mark of the beast that will make me unsaved. For I bear upon myself. Right? So it means that the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the mark that God will have on you as a saint, which is a seal, is not something that is physical. Nobody can give you a physical equipment or device that can make you lose the eternal spirit God has put in your heart forever. Are we together? No one. No one. So whether they call it COVID vaccine or MAVID vaccine, no matter the name it comes, no matter what it comes at, you can never lose your salvation because of what a man can do to you. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Are you here? Right. So make sure you take note of that. So We don't know prophets in our world today by those who predicted World War VII. World War I or World War II. Amen. So look what it says. It says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn. You know, nothing in David's Psalm 16 mentioned phone number. Nothing in David's Psalm 16 mentioned details about people. Now, is there anything wrong? We do it as a church. It's a normal thing. Like I always tell you, it's our goal as a church that every member operates in the things of the Spirit like I do. And that's why we teach the way we do. Because it's my goal. I'm not a celebrity. Amen? I'm not a celebrity. I'm just a servant boy to show you how service to God is. Right? So when you see me flowing in the of the Spirit, what you should always say to yourself is, I can do what he can do. Because the Spirit of God in him is in me. Right? So if the Spirit in him can do it, the Spirit in me can do it. More often than not, it's that simple. All together. So knowing people's details, it's a lot of those things. It's just for people to know that God really cares about them. Are we together? Yeah? It just goes about to show you that God really knows you. He knows you by name. He knows you by details. So let's start saying, who is this person that bears this name? Who is that person? You are this, you are that, you are that. Well, it's just to further emphasize to your heart that God really is there for you. Meanwhile, fundamentally, how you should re-emphasize to yourself that God is there for you is how? Through the word. It's through the word. Because times might come where all those, who is this, who is that, who is this, who is this, might not be in your head correct. Have you? Jesus met the woman at the well and he said, go and call your husband. Is that not true? To a layman, it is that Jesus what? Missed it. And the woman said, no, I don't have any husband. Jesus said what? You said correctly. For you've lived with so and so many. You see, he went further. Why did Jesus go further? Because the goal of ministering the gifts of the Spirit is not to be correct so that people can say, hey, chairman. You see, that's why I say, see, members of the church say, hey, pastor, open my file, open my case, open my case. Papa to walk. You're this, I will leave you there. Any word of knowledge that ends a word of knowledge, either the man did not complete it, or the man is just trying to impress you. Wait, why am I telling you your father's name? You forgot it. Why am I telling you your mother's name? Why am I telling you your date of birth? I'm telling you those things so that I can be sure it is you I'm speaking to, and I will tell you what God wants you to do going forward. So that's why for every word of knowledge, there should be a word of wisdom. Together, you are this, you are tall, you are short, you are big, you are slim. Yes, but that's me. I can see. Amen. Right. So David did not have any encounter about the prophetic here that had to do with details of people, but yet Peter calls him, therefore being a prophet. Right. So look at it again. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to what? To sit on his throne. Now look at verse 31. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Sing together. 1, 2, 3, go. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh did see corruption. All together. This Jesus and God what? Raised up. Whereof we are all what? Witnesses. Look at 33. Therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now what? See and hear. For David, he now goes back to tell you that Psalm 16, even though David spoke about it, it's not about David. Look at verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said unto himself, the Lord, in Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand. Until I make thy what? Foes thy enemies. That first one. So verse 16. So have I shown were used? My sister, people want to tell us to start from the book of Psalms, right? So I'm telling your case. Right? So I've shown you two Psalms, Psalm 118 and Psalm 116. And I showed you how Peter explained it. Yeah? Love it. So go back to Psalm 16. Let me put it in context for you now. So, when David was saying in Psalm 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Was David talking about himself? No. What did Peter say? David being a prophet. So can a prophet speak in third person? Is that third person speaking? First person, rather. Yeah. Can a prophet speak in first person? So, can I say this? And I'll be with you from now to the end of the time. And I'll make sure I'm your exceeding shield. Right? Am I talking to you? Am I the one that will be with you? If I'm the one, please run. So, it means as a prophet, I can talk in first person. Right? My hand will never leave you nor forsake you. I assure you, I'm going to be your present help in time of trouble and time of need. When you hear that, what are you hearing? A prophet that is talking on behalf of God to you. So, when David will be talking in first person, don't think David was talking about himself. So, let's now read in context with that knowledge. Right? So, I have said the Lord always before me because it's at my right hand I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices and my flesh shall also rest in hope. For thou will not leave my soul. So, who is saying thou will not leave my soul in hell? Jesus. You get that? For thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One. Who is the Holy One?
Jesus.
So it means that Jesus was rest assured that even though he died, there's an assurance that he will come back to life, for he will not remain in corruption. That's why when Peter now explains, he says, David, that we, you and I know, he is dead. He is buried. In case you are not sure, I can give you the address of where he was buried. But Jesus went to the land of the dead. And he came back on the third day, full of victory in his hands. And that victory he wrought, he gave to you and said, you are my child, my very own, my son. And we're together. He has given me his spirit. Now look at verse 11. Thou will show me the path of life. Right? So it means in the midst of corruption, there's going to be a path that will bring me back to life. Did you get that? Right? Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. So let me ask you a question. What should the presence be? What would the presence be? Look at it again. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at the right hands there are pleasures forevermore. What would the in thy presence there is fullness of joy be? The what? The what? Resurrection? Okay. Go again. Died, you can say he was absent from the land of the living. Is that true?
Yeah.
Then he was present in the land of the dead. So when Jesus resurrected, what will happen? He becomes. So at thy presence, there is what? So the believer is happy upon the presence of Jesus from the land of the dead. Is that clear? Shall I say it again? Let me say it again. When Jesus was on earth, when Jesus will die, he will go to the land of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then he is absent in the land of the living and present in the land of the dead. When he resurrects, what do you say about him? He is now absent from the land of the dead and present. That present in the land of the living is the presence. Right? So his presence will now be the presence of the resurrection to you. So when it says, at thy presence, there is fullness. So when we see him come out from the land of the dead, we rejoice. There is fullness of what? Joy. So it means our joy is not in portions. Our joy is full. There is what? Fullness of joy from the land of the dead when you come into the land of the living. So is Jesus alive forevermore? Yes. Because he's alive forevermore, my joy is full. So when you see a believer say, my joy knows no bound. What is he really saying? You cannot quantify my joy. So when you see a believer that is sad, do believers get sad?
Yeah.
What do you think the believer should remind himself or herself of in the midst of that sadness? Joy. The fullness of joy is here. So you see, I'm the house of joy. Are we together? Our sister gave us a song a few years ago. She said, I'm a man of joy. I've put on joy. Abba lives in me. I'm a man of the spirit. So now this is what we call praise. When we are speaking well of what Jesus has done for us. Are we here? Have we gone? Are you here? Have we gone? So, as saints, who will determine how we praise God? Okay, what will influence how we praise God? Understanding of what He has done for us. Who will determine how we praise God? Okay, let me ask you a question. Who will determine the kinds of things we do when we praise God? Go to 1 Corinthians. Let me close there. Yeah, so at least someone said the word of God right now. Yeah, okay. Look at 1 Corinthians. Let me show you something. You see, when we say we are the ones that determine the way we praise God, we are leaving that with an open check. You know what that means? That is why you see people do a lot of ridiculous things in the name of we are praising God. Now, I've told you, this one used to always shock me. I've been to a meeting where guys will gather around ladies, and the ladies will be shaking their, what's supposed to be private. You say shaking their leg. They're shaking their leg, and I know what they are not looking at. It's not the leg. Hallelujah. And you see some people praying, Govin. And people will be in the middle, and people will not be moving. Govin. And he said, Taylor. And before you know it, we do anyhow. Before you know it, we burn calories. Before we know it, we have a wonderful service in quotes. Mm-hmm. Are we together? Mm-hmm. If we are the ones that determine, you start seeing people do anything they like, anyhow they want. Mm-hmm. And they will call it, I'm praising my Father, don't disturb me. Mm-hmm. But dear saints, over the last few weeks, I've taught you something. There's a way, what did Paul say? 1 Timothy 3. That thou may know how you ought to behave yourselves. Let me show you a clear example. Look at 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Let me do a quick study here, which I did on Wednesday. I'm going to close here today. 1 Corinthians 11. Are you here? Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that I did come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now, do believers come together? Is 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, yes? Are we there? 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. That means he's saying, what I'm about to speak to you about, I don't praise you about it. Right? That ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Can believers come together and they are coming together as for the worse?
Yeah.
And can they come together and come together as for the better?
Yeah.
So it means that not every coming together is for the better.
Yeah.
Did you get that? Mm-hmm. Let me show you a quick example. Look at the next verse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be what? Divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Look at verse 20. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not with the Lord's Supper. For in eating everyone taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry, and the other is drunken. What is Paul addressing in their coming together? Division. So when they come together, what they're coming together for, they are better. So it means they're coming together was for the worse. Now, if they're in their minds, if they're not well taught, will they think that after all we've come together, we'll come together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's possible you can say, after the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered. Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
But Paul is saying, you came together quite all right. Did you fulfill scriptures? Yes. But your coming together is not for the better, but for the worse. For I hear there be what? Divisions among you. I paid attention to this on Wednesday. Right? What was this division that was happening? You know, Galatians 3 says, for as many of you that have put off Christ, you have what? That have been baptized into Christ, you are children of God. For there is neither one that which I'm going on. What is division? Division is when we come together and make it obvious that there is segregation amongst the saints. You know, everybody here, no matter what you have in your account, we are all equal before God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. What you have in your account doesn't make you God's favorite over me. Are we here? What I have in my account doesn't make me God's favorite over you. So, who does what you have in your account affect? Man. Man will see what you have in your account and say, wow, she's a big woman. But God doesn't see what you have in your account and say you are a big daughter. Are we together? Now, what was happening? Let me summarize to you what was happening in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, fundamentally, we had people coming together and they were feasting. Now, you know there's a way a church can subconsciously segregate the rich from the poor. Are we together? Right? And when you see the usher, they're dancing at the entrance. And when they see you from afar, they size you. They say, go this way. That's what the front. Go this way. Oh, go this way. And they carry the Bible to you and carry it to the front. Then you, when they size you already from, they just look at it, not even see you. Just say, yeah, I don't want to ask them, where am I sitting? And then you not see your mates. So, you know that thing happens in church? I hope you know. The ones that smell nice, that celebrate you, just bring the Bible, bring it to the front. And the ones that are smelling the way they are, you see what? Just stay behind. You know, churches, let me tell you something I found out. You know, see, one of the things that has made me stay away from lots of conversation with lots of pastors, I have a lot of pastor friends, is I see the practice of what people do and it's smelling. Do you know that there are churches who arrange the best dressed people in their first rows for pictures? The day I got this one, it shocked me. The people that dress the most are in front. Then those that dress the way they are behind. And I'm like, you see, the body of Christ is the only union on earth that has been successfully made in a way that there should be no disparity between the rich and the poor. That's why I keep telling you, every day I teach a message, one of the easiest ways you can know, two ways you can know if what I'm teaching should be what you should be hearing is, will Jesus come in the flesh and sit down here and hear me say what I'm saying? Two, will the richest man in your country, your nation, your village, your continent, in the world, come and sit down with me and hear what he's saying? The day I say teach a message here, and the richest man in your community comes and sits down here, and he says that message is not for me, because he knows what he has in his account, then what I was saying is not of the gospel of Jesus. Altogether. So, let me give you a... See, if I do crossover service, not all of us are like crossover. December is coming again. We're in the Ember period. Ember. Then the Amber. Then when you now to start the new year again, right? This year! The year is finishing. You know, if you don't put your attention to learn and grow in so many aspects of your life, your years will just be counting on you. You just be going. A lot of us, they've told us this our year. The message will soon start changing. God of the last minute. Say the Jehovah suddenly. You know, there's something called the 11th hour. It took God 7 days to create the earth. You can change your stone in 7 hours. And you will still keep open to December 31st. You still go for Christmas about 10 p.m. You still say something. So people just go in that cycle. Right? But if I have a believer, if I have a meeting, right? Now, if I say, this year is your year, everything you put your hands will. You know, it's not everything you put your hand that will actually work. Try fishing. When you finish your fishing, go to. I'm going to tell you what you should go to. Right? You can place your hands on things and things work. Yeah? If it's working, if it's not working, you can stay positive and keep expecting the best. Yeah, but there's no assurance in the Bible that everything you put your hand on in this world. Because if that's the case, it's unending. You can put your hand into steel, it will work, it will produce profit. Are we together? So, one of the things you must understand is there's a way we come together as saints, and in our conduct, we are dividing amongst ourselves. You know, let me tell you something. Don't tell them how to say, you know that, this is painful. You know that I know churches where before you can join the ushering, you must have a skin tone. Should I come tell your name? No, I won't do it. Will I push you? I'm not telling you. They do audition for people who join ushering and waiters. And you model with high heels. The things that are happening. You see, and look at it this way. When somebody is doing audition, for instance, for choir, right, want to pick who's our instrumentalist, who's our, those are our keyboardists that will be playing. Why should we justify that and not justify somebody who is modeling women for Osho? It's not all audition. So you see why I always say something? There's some things if you tolerate, you don't know, you can know where it will start. You know where it will end. And you that you think you are the one that knows how to wash up people into the world, you go there, they say your the skin of your color is a little dark, you need something lighter. I'm not lying to you. These are facts. These are facts. So you cannot serve God because of the way you are. Right? So there's some things we do that just creates division. Now, there's a way you run the choir, for instance, and you realize that some people don't always want to worship when somebody is singing. But and some people have, you know, there's something called, what's the name of that? There's a name they call that man somebody that comes into the spiritual and change the game. There's a figure of speech, I always call it. Someone that comes into a, maybe the game, is it talisman? No, when things are going south, and you just bring one person and it changes the whole narrative. Okay, you don't understand. Game changer, eh? What is it called? You can't remember, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And you see somebody you should be jumping and be saying, give the Lord a big praise. Nobody says, yay. I was saying, huh? Before you know it, one sister Nkechi will just come from the staircase. Or sister Jem Jem. Right? I just want, as soon as she just, she, that lady carries a person. She carries an aurora. She carries an aurora. What I'm really just saying is that her voice is better than his voice. He's using husky voice. How will husky voice make you worship God? So you see, you now begin to allow people. So you know, some people cannot play. I'm someone who likes things to be done well. Right. And but you don't at the expense of a talent somebody has deprive other people from serving the way they want to serve or the way they think they want to serve. And that is why if you understand the difference between service and ministry, it will help us a lot. A lot of us think that ministry is playing piano. Yeah. A lot of us think that, so I ask a lot of people, how is ministry? I say, ministry is going very well. Oh, we just bought a new tray for our pastor. That's ministry. Right. So people think that ministry is serving Five for Life and Pringles. Right? Ecclesia. Ecclesia. Right? Right? How's ministry? And they're doing it wholeheartedly. That's reaching out to the lost. Are we together? So what was Paul addressing? Let me try close here. Paul will say, verse 18, I hear that there be division amongst you, and I partly believe it. He says, for in eating, verse 21, everyone taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What is he trying to say? How many of you used to do class party when you were growing up? Mm-hmm. Class party, right? That's what you were. Some of you will bring your things, everybody will bring things from their home, they come and share. You know, some people in your class, they have their friends. Right? Their parents will give them a carton of Capri Sun. No Capri Sun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or a Guinea. Yeah, apparently you get a carton of 40 Capri Sun. And once between the dropping them at the gates in the car to the class, 20 is missing. They've removed 20 and put in their bag and they spread the remaining 20 in the carton. Right? How do I know these things? How do I know these things? Why are you laughing? Because you can relate. Yeah? And when they get to the class, they go and give you 20. And they will act like they don't have, they'll still collect up the 20. Then when everybody has finished sharing, they and their friends, they will go to one back. And only four of them will share 20. That's what they're doing in Corinth. So those that are influential will be eating. Then they will be drunken. Then those who don't have mouth, you know, people say, you don't have leg. You don't have a seat. What will happen? They're hungry. You know, that was what caused them to cause some people to die in 1 Corinthians 11. Partiality. Yes, things. I put it to you to know that there is a way we are to behave when we come together and a way we are not to behave. Let me close with this finally. I've been closing, huh? Stay closing. That is why in gospel, you don't see us do Sunday and say, where are my Zimbabwe sisters? Where are my Yoruba brothers? Where are my Igbo friends? Hey, hey. So they were going to praise God in the Igbo way. You know the problem with that? And I said this on Wednesday. Even a Yoruba community, and what the language majority of them speak is Yoruba. You know you can sing your praise and worship in Yoruba. Mm-hmm. You know you can teach in Yoruba. Mm-hmm. Right? We come to a central location where an average person speaks English, for instance. Then what happens? We start going to people's nativity to pick how they worship. You know what that does to you? You that know how to worship from where you come from, when you are worshiping, you will not have anything to do. The best you will do at that point is to be learning the language of this person. Did you get that? So what have you done? You've deprived somebody from worshiping in that moment because you brought a barrier, which is language barrier. Did you get that? If you had worshiped in your dialect in your local village, local government, it's not wrong. Because everybody there comes together and they can sing and flow. But anything that makes a priest that come and say, today I'm going to learn this song. And when they say, bien, bien, no, bien, no. Bien, bien, no, bien, no. Everybody say, bien, bien, no, bien. Bien, bien, no, bien. Bien, bien, no, bien. Depending on that, bien, 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 no, bien. So you that's Igbo with French. That's Igbotic French. Right? And before you know it, you know, you've successfully gone to church to learn a language you shouldn't learn. So what do we do? Why don't we come together and sing in uniform? We have lyrics. You know, there's some songs you sing in other dialects that when you hear what you're really saying, for what you are hearing, you are cursing yourself. You know, the church is not a place where we learn the diversity the world has put. You know, diversity in the real sense from the origin is man-made. Different cultures started coming out from themselves because men took their stand. You get that? So countries were colonizing other countries. Those countries said, well, I want to stand alone. So that's how those two, they are man-made. So we can't afford to allow the man-made practices come to cause division among us ourselves again. Are we together? Have you been blessed this morning? Yeah. A lot said today? Well, as you